You're listening to the Body Pros podcast coverage of IAS 2007, the fourth International AIDS Society conference on HIV pathogenesis, treatment, and prevention. Sydney, Australia, July 22nd through July 25th, 2007.
This is Bonnie Goldman, editorial director of The Body Pro. I'm here in Sydney, Australia at IAS 2007 with Anthony Fauci, director of the U.S. National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. Dr. Fauci spoke at the opening session of the conference last night, and he'll be chairing a symposium today on early treatment of HIV. I'm also here with Dr. Daniel Berger, clinical assistant professor of medicine at the University of Illinois in Chicago. Dr. Berger is going to begin this interview with a few questions.
Dr. Fauci, you've accomplished so much in terms of describing the pathogenesis of HIV disease. What do you see are the biggest or next hurdles in the next 5 to 10 years in terms of treatment?
Well, with regard to treatment, I look at it in two phases. The first is to continue the pipeline of drugs that are better in the sense of being able to be more potent in suppressing the virus and perhaps even whittling away at that recalcitrant reservoir of infection that makes it very difficult, if not impossible, to essentially discontinue drugs in people. We've tried that and the virus keeps coming back. So a robust pipeline of new drugs on the scientific side. On the application side, it's getting drug to those people in the developing world that need it. We've done very well over the past couple of years in getting drug to many, many more people than originally. Just a few years ago, there were less than a couple of 100,000 people in low and middle income countries who were receiving drug. Now, with the various programs such as the PEPFAR, the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, the Global Fund, the philanthropic organizations like the Clinton and Gates Foundation, there are 2.2 million people on drug. The only problem is that only represents 28% of the people who truly need to be on drug are receiving drug. So the big challenge is that for every one person you put on drug, six new people get infected. So if you just do the simple math of it, that is really turning into a very difficult problem, and already is a difficult problem, which points to prevention being the way to go together with treatment. We can't abandon treatment, but we've got to be able to focus more and make prevention modalities more accessible to the people who need them. In my mind, that's the biggest challenge.
Outside of trying to bridge the gap between the Western and underdeveloped world, in terms of research, the field of gene therapy and technology seems to be moving rather quickly. Do you think that it would be possible to locate or identify genes that perhaps can halt immune system activation or somehow halt replication of the virus without having to take continuous heart therapy?
Well, identifying genes that are associated with a lack of progression is something that is already being done. In fact, there's a recent paper from the Chavi group, the Center for HIV/AIDS Vaccine Immunology, that's centered in Duke University in Durham, and is an international collaboration, has already identified the polymorphisms in three genes that are associated with a control of the viral set point. But that's a far cry from being able to then manipulate that. So I really think the idea of gene therapy to induce a gene or not that's associated with good prognosis is really, I think, beyond practicality. So I think we'll understand how the body is able to control HIV in some individuals who have a genetic propensity to be able to do that. That's already been done. And each year we get more information about one particular gene association or another. But again, I don't necessarily associate that at all with our ability to then utilize gene therapy to do something about it. Gene therapy is a very, very difficult thing to do, and you're certainly not going to change the genotype of an individual. That would be impossible. You can insert a gene of a particular cytokine or of a particular expression of a particular activity, but you're not going to change the genome of an individual. So I don't want to put down gene therapy, but I don't think that's the answer to HIV treatment.
Mike, I have a question about the article or the report published in the Journal of Infectious Diseases about I guess, eradication. Why now do you think it's an issue that has reemerged?
Well, I think the issue of eradication is something we don't want to be fixated on, because technically eradication might not be possible. But with the newer drugs and people being treated earlier in the course of disease, and if you follow them for many years the way we did, we found that there was a difference between people who were treated after their infection had been established for a few years, where they had a larger reservoir and had much more damage to their immune system. And we try to get those people off therapy, and the virus continued to rebound invariably. We have another group of people who are actually started on therapy very early, within months of initial infection, and we followed them for several years. And we're finding that the size of their reservoir and the damage to their immune system is different than the others. The reservoir is smaller. Its decline looks more linearly decreased in the sense of heading in the right direction, not necessarily to be completely eradicated, but clearly going down and down over years, and they have some considerable residual immune function. So the feeling is perhaps in those individuals, even though you may not be able to eradicate the virus in the technical sense, that you would be able to withdraw therapy in some of those people and allow the residual HIV-specific immune response to control the virus. There's no guarantee that that will happen, but that's looking more and more possible as we follow people for longer periods of time who have excellent, strong drug regimens, including the newer drugs that are being used right now, and who have a residual immune response that's able to contain the virus. That's the reason why this is reappearing, because we now have experience with these better drug regimens. 7 years was the time of projection, all other things being equal, if you had no residual virus replication, that you might have so-called eradication. But that was really a technical statement. We don't really believe that you are invariably going to see eradication in those people at all. I think eradication is going to be a very, very difficult thing.
The opinions expressed by hosts or interviewees in this podcast do not constitute professional advice, should not be considered substitutes for professional services, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of Body Health Resources Corporation or its sponsors. Please see the full disclaimer online at thebodypro.com. If you have comments or questions, please contact us.
This has been a report on IAS 2007 from The Body Pro. For more podcasts and full coverage of this conference, visit us online at thebodypro.com/IAS2007.